Welcome to KTWH's candidate forum for the City Council Ward 1 seat in Two Harbors. This is Leo Babeu for KTWH 99.5 FM, Two Harbors Community Radio. This November 6th will be a very busy and important general election, both U.S. Senate seats for our state, the 8th Congressional District seat, the governorship, and all the other Minnesota statewide constitutional offices are on the ballot. In Two Harbors, there are three City Council seats to be filled, for Wards 1 and 2, as well as for one at-large council position. And today's candidate forum features the candidates for Ward 1, Miles Woodruff and Uriah Hefter. The forum will be discussion format. Each candidate will answer questions from our moderator, and they'll have 90 seconds for each response. We'll begin with a brief introductory statement from both candidates, and the candidates will take turns going first. Should either candidate refer to their opponent specifically in any answer, that person will be given time for a brief response. Our moderator today is Kitty Mayo, veteran news reporter for the North Shore Journal. Thanks to Kitty for agreeing to moderate, and now here is Kitty Mayo.
Thanks, Leo. I'm going to start with Uriah and give you a chance to introduce yourself and give your reasons for running for council.
Sure. My name is Uriah Hefter. I am 41 years old. I've lived here in Two Harbors for about 8 years now. I am married to my beautiful wife, Heather. We have three children, Abigail, who is a freshman at UMD. Go Dogs. Our son, Finn, who is 8, and our daughter, Eleanor, is 3. Oh, we also have Helen the cat, a new addition to the family. I got interested in running for city council about a year ago. 2 years ago, I was invited down to a city council meeting just to see how that worked and what the process was. About a year ago, I decided that it would be something that I felt that I could add to and help be a part of. I have got a lot of good financial experience, and I kind of had the observation from the city that they could use some help in that area, managing budgets and spending and stuff like that. So that's kind of what got me fired up and excited about throwing my hat in the ring and running for city council. And I guess I filed back in the end of June, and here we all are.
Thank you. And Miles, could you introduce yourself and your reasons for running for council?
Yeah, so I'm Miles Woodruff. I'm 35 years old. I've been a resident of Two Harbors here for 33 years now. I'd like to continue serving the city council, the city of Two Harbors. It's been a privilege and an honor just to serve the community. The main reason I'm running is because I love Two Harbors. I'd like to see it flourish. I want it to be a great place for people to raise a family, their kids, live, retire. I just want it to be the best place it possibly can be so people can enjoy it. And that's my reasons for running, because I love Two Harbors.
Thank you. And Miles, we're going to start with you with the first question. What issues are most important to you, and if elected, what would be your top three priorities?
My top three priorities would be continuing on the capital improvement plan, which, for people that don't know, that's streets, alleys, and sidewalks, and the underground infrastructure would be my number one, to continue the ball rolling on that one. I think we've had a lot of success with that. Number two would be waterfront development, green space, seeing what constituents want. That also includes the Edna G, stabilizing the Edna G. And number three would be housing and economic development. They kind of go hand in hand. Those would be my top three priorities.
Thank you. And same question to you, Uriah. What issues are most important to you, and if elected, what would be your top three priorities?
Well, one, I would say number one for me would be growth of the city in general, as far as population expansion and infrastructure expansion. Number two, right behind that, would be the financial responsibility to keep our budget in the black, not go into the red. That's something that's pretty important. And three would then be waterfront development, would be the most, probably the third thing on the list, because we've got a beautiful space down there. And I think we're kind of undercapitalized down there and need to take a little bit more of advantage of it than we currently are.
All right. And then we'll start with Uriah for the second question. It is understood there's a shortage of affordable housing in Two Harbors. How do you propose to address this problem?
Well, we've got a lot of options here. As an example, we do have a lot of space that we're not using that the city owns. There is certainly an opportunity to maybe change some zoning regulations, potentially go into business for ourselves as a city and begin to construct either some small starter homes or some multi-unit homes. It kills a lot of birds with one stone if we kind of go down that road. Certainly the city would be subsidizing that effort, but to a point you would also be adding jobs, which is a wonderful thing to attract people to our area. You would be adding a teachable and learnable skill set for individuals who, for example, if we decided to get into the house building business, there are people that know nothing about building a home but maybe have a passion to do so. So not only do we kind of help solve the housing problem by getting into building our own houses, our own multi-unit structures. We're teaching a skill set. We're increasing the amount of people that have the potential to move to our town and actually then fill out those affordable small homes. And we're providing a skill that can be passed on and can help someone future and move on in their career.
All right. Thank you. And Miles, same question. It's understood that there's a shortage of affordable housing in Two Harbors. How do you propose to address this problem?
This is something we're currently working on. I'm on the Housing and Redevelopment Authority right now, currently. And lately, we've been forming better bonds with the county. We're working very closely together. We have some new members on HRA, Susie Rosette. She's wonderful. We've been exploring different options with One Roof. We've been working with them, building new houses, affordable housing for people, definitely marketing all the open spaces in Two Harbors that are available for sale, make sure that they're on the market and people are aware. Definitely reinvesting in some of the housing we already have, making sure it's livable and up to code and insulated and all that. We're also just exploring any options of, like some bigger places, like workforce housing, for example, where we could get bigger places in here. I'd love to see the John A. Johnson block redeveloped. You know, there's the old high school hill. Any places that are kind of vacant, I would like to see something go in there so we could expand our community.
All right. The next question we'll have Miles start. Two Harbors has street improvement and other big infrastructure needs facing us in the coming years. The City Council has approved a question for the November ballot that, if passed, would raise the current 1.5% city sales tax to 1%. Please share your position on this referendum.
I personally can't. We are advised by the attorney to not have an opinion as a council member on that.
Thank you.
I cannot further elaborate on that.
Okay.
My personal opinion, I'm in support of it.
All right. And same question to you, Uriah. Two Harbors has street improvement and other big infrastructure needs facing us in the coming years. The City Council has approved a question for the November ballot that, if passed, would raise the current 1.5% city sales tax to 1%. Please share your position on this referendum.
Well, I'm in support of the referendum. I could say as a citizen, it was frustrating that it took us as long as it took us to get to this. I mean, it would have been a heck of a lot nicer, I think, if we would have been able to get to this referendum a year or 2 years ago as we were going into the CIP versus kind of coming at it, I wouldn't say on the backside of the project, but certainly during the middle of the project. My kind of just outside observation is that it's going to be supported in large by the community, but mostly by those folks who are on the upcoming CIP plans, knowing full well that they don't want to be assessed the value that a lot of us were currently assessed. So I'm in support of it. I think it's a good idea. It's just frustrating that it wasn't something that was as vetted and pushed as hard as it has been, after we started the project as opposed to before we started.
All right. And Uriah, you're going to start with the next question. What do you see as the top infrastructure needs of the city, and how will you work towards accomplishing those?
Well, the CIP is a good start. Certainly, roads, sidewalks, streets, everybody can agree to that, get behind that. I think we are certainly behind in the times as it relates to our power grid and our power system. I understand that we're obviously all on Minnesota Power. We haven't had a whole lot of opportunity to spend, and I've read some stuff that we're trying to, form some bonds with some local communities to be able to maybe increase our buying power, maybe think about going with a different company entirely. All of those things are good, but I think our city's electrical grid, the infrastructure there is certainly behind in the times. We experienced some big winds, some big storms. We just had one a week ago. Some folks lost power for a little bit of time. I know that Minnehaha was without power for a little bit. I think we need to look a little bit more closely at our electrical system and our grid, which obviously ties into a lot more when we talk about clean energy and different ways to, kind of reduce our dependency on fossil fuels, which I'm certainly in favor of. But I think that would be probably something that we need to put higher on the list than lower would be the power grid and the electronic infrastructure of the city.
Thank you. And same question to you, Miles. What do you see as the top infrastructure needs of the city, and how will you work toward accomplishing those?
Definitely the streets, alleys, and sidewalks, and more importantly, even the underground. I think we've been focused on that. We have the city engineers, Bolton and Mink. They assess on right now we're doing it by the worst streets come first. We're looking at that so we could do bigger areas, try to get bigger blocks, continuous areas knocked out. The inflow and infiltration is a big issue because that affects our water plant. So the underground work and just continuing continuing on. We've done more projects this year than we have in the last 20 years. We got 8 projects done, and I'd just like to see that continue.
Okay. Next question, I'll go to you, Miles, first. What is your vision for the future of Agate Bay and the waterfront if funding was no issue?
If funding was no issue, I would like to see a lot of green space down there. I would, most importantly, I'd like to see what the constituents would like. I could see a park down there. I would like to see it keep our heritage, where we came from, with railroad, fishing, maybe some small shops down there. That's my personal opinion. But something that just displays our heritage and where we came from, it's something to be proud of. I think it's beautiful down there. I'd like to keep it, you know, the way it is, kind of. With it has to have a beautiful touch to it. It takes some thinking. It takes some time to get it to where we want it to be, because I think everybody has a vision. And I think the end result, if we all come together, it'll be beautiful.
Thank you. And Uriah, what is your vision for the future of Agate Bay and the waterfront if funding was no issue?
That would be nice. And, you know, and I don't even think the vision that I have for it is I don't even think requires unlimited funding, but I would love to put a YMCA down there. I am all for community education. I'm all for community support. We've got a bunch of great community ed programs in our city now. And I think that there's a great opportunity to help install an additional, like a marketable sense of community to individuals who don't live in Two Harbors, who might be interested in moving to the area or might be moving to the area and looking for a spot to be. I mean, a YMCA is a great facility that can house, you know, community ed programs, could have an aquatic center. I've seen YMCAs that basically have one side of their building is kind of painted white for a movie screen, and they do like a drive-in movie night in the summer times, and they do that type of thing. I think it's a great cornerstone of any community, and I know we've got some Ys in the area. We've got one in Duluth. We've got one in Grand Marais. The one in Duluth is always busy. The one in Grand Marais is kind of too far away, and if the weather's inclement, you're not going to drive that far in that in the snow and ice. But yeah, I'd love to be able to put a YMCA down there. I think that the footprint is not so big that it would take away from the beauty of the waterfront, but it would certainly be a nice addition to the community and would certainly be something that would attract more people to our community.
All right. Uriah, I'll have you start with the next question. How might we create greater diversity in the types of business operating in the city for a more sustainable economy?
Well, that's a good one. I think certainly being more marketable and more open to that diversity. I mean, if you look at our city right now, we have some great industrials. We have a bunch of restaurants. We have a bunch of churches and a couple of bars. What we're missing are some of the old traditional brick and mortar type of dime stores, per se. We're fortunate. We've got a great hardware store in town. I know I'm doing stuff around my house, and I'm probably down there 3 or 4 times a week picking up stuff from the hardware store. But being able to market ourselves and be a little more I don't want to say open, but I do want to say more welcoming to different types and styles of business. There's, you know, a lot of different businesses that can go in, small clothing stores, small manufacturers that make everything from fanny packs to cowboy hats. And to this point, we're not really doing a whole lot. And I think if we are going to, you know, continue to develop downtown, which I think is great. I love having a great downtown. We need to look at some of those properties that are down there and say to ourselves as a city, is there something we can do? Is there something we can renovate? Is there something that we can add maybe a benefit or a bonus to a small business who's looking to move to the area that we can help them kind of down that path of opening that business and being a part of our community?
All right. Same question to you, Miles. How might we create greater diversity in the types of business operating in the city for a more sustainable economy?
I think this is where infrastructure plays a vital role in attracting new businesses. Without the infrastructure, many businesses are not going to want to come here based on the cost to build and have sustainable infrastructure. So I think we have to keep the ball rolling on that. Being open-minded to different businesses. I know we've got quite a few different ones. We've got the Castle Danger Brewery, Sidero. There's Quick Trip has came in, McQuaid's. There's been quite a few different businesses. And I think it's finally on the upswing where people are becoming motivated. Entrepreneurship is definitely encouraged in Two Harbors for people to take a risk, to realize that with some commitment and dedication that you can make a business work here. It's definitely, it has its ups and downs in Two Harbors, you know, the tourist season. So it is a special market that you have to attract. But I think it takes the people willing to take a risk to come here, and the city is definitely willing to help in any way possible, and we just got to keep improving the infrastructure too to keep the businesses coming in.
Okay, thank you. Miles, I'll have you start with the next question. What do you like most about Two Harbors, and what do you most want to improve?
What I like most about Two Harbors is it's naturally a beautiful place. It's very safe. I feel comfortable here all the time with a family. You can go out for a walk. Sometimes it feels like you're alone in a city of 3,000 people. You can take your dog and your family for a walk. It's nice and quiet. You can go fishing, hunting. There's a lot of different options of things that you can do in this town. If you want to be with a group of people, you can. If you want to be alone, you also can. What was the last part of that?
What would you most want to improve?
Most want to improve. I think we got the ball rolling on this is community involvement. It's been great. There's the Friends of the Edna G, Friends of the Band Shell. I'd like to just continue to see that improve, community engagement. It's been great. It's something you can really accomplish a lot when everybody starts rowing in the same direction and working together. And that's what I'd like to see improve.
Thank you.
The most.
Same question, Uriah. What would you like? What do you like most about Two Harbors, and what do you most want to improve?
Well, I'd say the thing I like the most about Two Harbors are it's the cheesy answer, but it's true for me are the people. I know when we moved here 8 years ago, you know, you move to a new town, you don't know anybody, but it was literally, you know, it was kind of the Norman Rockwell picture book story of the moving truck pulls up out front of your new house, and all the next thing you know, you got neighbors and cookies and kids in your backyard. You don't even know who they are, but they're there to help you and pitch in, and that's been really welcoming to me to really find a sense of community and engagement, and you know, having all of us welcomed, you know, almost immediately into the fold of the city was great. I mean, it was just really phenomenal. I'm super thankful for that. What I would like to improve the most about our city would be I would say just to continue to move down the path of attracting more people to our city. I like that we're a small town. I'm not advocating for all of us, you know, all of a sudden turning into like a small Duluth or something like that, but we're about 3,400 people right now. I'd like to see about another 1,000 people come into the city, kind of widen the tax base, bring some additional business with them, you know, that way to encourage those of us that like do it, and a lot of us do, to be able to shop locally, to spend our dollars here, and then to get the products that we need and want from local businesses as well. So that's what I would improve.
Thank you. Uriah, I'll have you start with this one. Should the city continue to subsidize city enterprises?
It's a general question. I'll say that as a general answer, yes, I think the city needs to do a better job of picking and choosing what it subsidizes and what it doesn't. I mean, this is, you know, maybe it's the veiled reference to the golf course, and if it is, that's fine. I'll say that if the city is subsidizing a program which benefits everyone in the community, that doesn't put it into the red too far, sure. If it is a major loss for the city, then no. So there, it's kind of a general question. I'll give you the general answer. Yes, I think the city should, because there are good things that the city does subsidize. There are other things that we subsidize that hurt us more than help us. And I think we need to be a little more knowledgeable and just a little more honest with ourselves and say, hey, you know, this isn't doing everything for everybody that we intended it to do. It's time to walk away.
Thank you. And same question to you, Miles. Should the city continue to subsidize city enterprises?
I agree with him on, for the most part, with that answer. Yes, I think there's definitely things that the city needs to subsidize. There's parks and trails and things that offer great things for the community. Certain things, we'll just say the golf course, I would like to see that not be subsidized. I'd like to see it come to a break, most likely profitable is what I'd like to see the most, but at least the break-even point. But yes, it's necessary for a city to subsidize some things just so there's things for people to do, and it's a necessary thing. But not all the way across the board. There's things that could be improved, and we're working on improving.
Thank you, Miles. This will be your question to start with, Miles. What concerns do you have for our current transportation routes in the city, and how might you address those issues?
Yeah, there is a lack of, you know, there's no taxis really in Two Harbors. I think they've done a great job trying to get more people on bicycles, trails, you know, trying to join the whole city together on a walkable route is a great thing. There's safe routes to school. I think they've focused on a lot. Transportation, there is the AUOA, so I mean there's different options. Two Harbors isn't a giant town, so I think you can really commute, you can make it around right now. So I don't think that's a giant issue facing Two Harbors is transportation. But I guess, I mean, it could be reviewed a little bit further, but I don't see it as a giant issue right now.
Okay, thank you. And Uriah, what concerns do you have for our current transportation routes in the city, and how might you address those issues?
I think one for me is the getting people downtown, obviously with the road work, which we have all grinned and bared through most of the summer. It looks like it's finally coming to a close. That's a good thing. Getting through town from one end to the other, especially in the busy summer season, is an advantage for all of us who live here. A concern that I have is that the ability for those who don't live here to be able to get from one end of town to the other very, very quickly might decrease the likelihood of them actually stopping. You know, I can tell you from personal experience years and years ago passing through that I was stuck in traffic and just decided to stop and eat. What I would like to see is maybe some more roadway signage. I think that the city has done a good job with the wayfaring signs. I think those are really nice. Maybe even an additional stoplight. That might not be high on the list of things for the DNR, but we have to find a way to give those folks that drive Highway 61 in the spring, in the summer, in the fall, a good reason to stop. Maybe some additional off-street parking. Maybe we can identify a lot that the city owns and can turn it into a community parking lot. Something along that line would be great. But being able to get people not only to stop on the main thoroughfare on 61, but being able to divert them downtown specifically would be something that we should put high on our list.
Okay. Thank you, Uriah. I'll have you start with the next question. How will you make the city's motto, "It all starts here," a reality?
Well, I think that kind of goes back to the question you asked earlier, and my answer about the infrastructure of the city kind of also touches on the subsidization of city-owned enterprises, building more affordable housing. That's key one, you know, being able to have more housing on the market. I mean, if you look, you can pull up, you know, an app on your phone and see what's for sale in the city right now, and it's not a whole lot, which is good for a homeowner because your home value is up because there's, you know, 10 or 12, you know, properties for sale in the city as a whole, but you're not providing an opportunity for people to look at us and say, oh, they've got, you know, great affordable housing. I can move there. There are a lot of people moving to the area. I know that there's big expansions happening with some medical units down in Duluth. It's a 20-minute drive. A lot of people that are moving from a larger city have a commute that's longer than 20 minutes. So as a city, we need to be looking at what can we do to entice those people to move into Two Harbors, to welcome them into our community the same way that I was welcomed, and then to, you know, provide opportunity for them to have their families here, to get their community education here, to send their kids to school here, and then to retire here and stay for the rest of their lives.
Thank you. Same question, Miles. How will you make the city's motto, "It all starts here," a reality?
Well, it did all start here for me 33 years ago. How I'd like to make that a reality for everybody else is people that are just moving here, have a fresh start, be able to have a dream of what they want. How I would do that to make a reality, I'd want to focus on housing, the infrastructure, continue to have it a safe place to live. Just have it be a place where ideas can flourish, you know, have it be a town of beauty. It's because a lot of things, anything you want can start here. You can start a business. You can start a family. So that's what the motto of it all starts here. If you have a vision, it can happen in Two Harbors.
Thank you, Miles. And I'll have you take the final question first. How would you ensure that citizens have adequate opportunities for their voices to be heard in the process of decision making by elected officials?
Definitely. We all have emails, definitely, that we'll always respond to. I always respond to every single email I've ever received as fast as I can. The council meetings are always open. We have a new city webpage. There's many visioning sessions that the public is invited to. All council meetings and committee and commission meetings are posted 3 days in advance down at City Hall, often in the newspaper too. That's something we've really been focused on, trying to get community engagement. I think in the past there may have been a lack of that, it's been something that's been expressed to the council, and we've definitely took aim on it to try to get as many people involved as we can to send a clear message and be transparent. And the best way is just to reach out or come down to a City Hall meeting and voice your opinion, because that's what truly matters, is a constituent's opinion. That's who we're there to represent. And so I think we've definitely took the steps to make sure that everybody's voices is heard.
Thank you. And same question to you, Uriah. How would you ensure that citizens have adequate opportunities for their voices to be heard in the process of decision-making by elected officials?
Well, I think that I agree with Councilman Woodruff. I think that the city has certainly taken some steps specifically in the last probably 6 to 10 months of welcoming, being a lot more welcoming and having folks come down at the council meetings. I'll say that a lot of times, though, people are pretty uncomfortable or can be uncomfortable speaking in that type of a forum. Obviously, you're right there in the council chambers. It's not a very intimidating environment, which is really good, but people can be uncomfortable with that. So if we're going to be a part of our community and get out there, it's good to have citizen-funded commissions. It's good to have focus groups and invite people to come, but we've got to be out. We've got to be boots on the ground. Going door to door is not an uncommon thing, or just scheduling your own as a council person being to say, hey, I'm going to be at the library at Tuesday night at 6 o'clock. Come on down. Let's hang out and we'll read a book to a dog and you can tell me about what you want me to help you with. It's being one on one and personally engaged. I think there were a lot of opportunities a little more 2 years ago or less that quite honestly, my opinion was a lot of people on the council just weren't listening and folks were giving their opinion and their thoughts and were just kind of bulldozed over. I'm happy to see that they're taking the steps that they're taking. We're moving in the direction of a lot more inclusion and a lot more of being responsive and responsible to the residents of Two Harbors, but it's having that personal connection and taking the time. I mean, if we're running for city council or on city council, we're all, serve at the pleasure of the city and all volunteering our time to be able to spend with them.
Thank you. We're going to go to closing statements now, and I'm going to have Miles go first. In the closing statement, you can summarize what you want the voters to consider in casting your votes.
Definitely. I just think it's been a privilege and an honor to serve the city for the last 4 years. Yeah, it can be a thankless job, even though I have got a few thank yous along the way. That's not why I do it. The reason I do it is just because I love Two Harbors. It's a beautiful place. I really love serving with the city council, the staff, and the administration. I think they're on the right path. We're really seeing some changes. We are getting things done. I'd like to see all this progress continue, and that's why I want to be reelected. I feel like I have been a vital part. I've been the vice president. I've also been the president of the council, which is an honor in itself to be voted by the other people as a leader. I just really want to see Two Harbors flourish and continue to go on the path that we finally are. It's took a lot of hard work to get the CIP going, to get the community involved. And I just want to keep seeing the progress to what the constituents want, to where we need to be.
Thank you, Miles. And for your closing statement, Uriah, summarize what you want the voters to consider in casting their votes.
Well, I will say thank you to Councilman Woodruff for serving, because I do understand it can be a thankless job, but we appreciate having you for
thank
Ward
you.
1. For me, there are some good pieces of progress that are being made by the city. There's still a lot of work to do. I mean, we're kind of learning how to be, I'll steal my friend Tom's phrase, we're learning how to be a city. And we have very full-time issues in front of us, and we need full-time people to be able to solve them. We need individuals who can help look at budgets and spreadsheets and fiscal responsibility and be able to kind of be that voice of, yes, we know we can do it, but we need to question whether or not we should, and build a community in such a way that is not only financially viable, that helps lessen some of the burdens on the citizens of our great city, and then allows ourselves to advance and build into the future. So that's why I'm running. That's what I'm passionate about. And I'll thank everybody for getting out and voting on November the 6th.
Thank you, Uriah.
We'd like to thank again candidates Uriah Hefter and Miles Woodruff for participating today, and Kitty Mayo for moderating this candidates forum, and to Michelle Anderson for her timely assistance. Remember, Two Harbors residents, these Ward 1 candidates will be on the November 6th ballot and will also appear on your early voting ballot should you choose to vote that way. KTWH encourages everyone to participate in the process of democratically selecting our leaders at every level of government. Stay tuned to 99.5 FM or ktwh.org online for a word about when anyone interested can hear this entire program again before the election. Thanks for listening.